Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
We are live. It's Monday night. This is the Hour of Truth. I'm Dave. I've been gone on vacation for 2 weeks. I missed you. I don't think you missed me very much, but I'm back anyway. What a 2 weeks it's been, huh? We had the fiscal cliff deal while I was gone. I missed out on that. We've got the gun control talk going on. I missed out on getting my comments in on that, and we'll get to that as weeks come. We're in the middle of Constitution 101, but we're taking 2 weeks more off from that because I was going to have a special guest tonight, and he had to postpone for a week. So I'm going to have him next week, a very special guest, and we'll put off Constitution 101 rather than come back and do it for one night and then take another night off. Next week, we'll just talk about the latest in the news. We'll open the switchboard. Callers are welcome. 347-677-1835, 347-677-1835. Call in on any topic you want to. You can tell I'm just getting over a really bad cold. It wasn't the flu, actually. I never had a fever and never got any of the body aches and pains, but oh man, it was horrible. I was incredibly sick. I'm getting over that now, but help me out here with a few call-ins so that I don't have to overdo myself tonight. How about this, the new fiscal cliff? I mean, what we're gonna have here is for the next year or two or four is just one continuing fiscal cliff after another. It's going to be we're now headed into the they postponed the sequestration. That's going to present us a fiscal cliff sometime in the future. We're going to have all of the continuing resolutions coming up, but right now on the forefront we have the debt ceiling increase. The president has run out of borrowing power. And we're still borrowing 42 cents of every dollar we spend. So now, the thing about this debt ceiling is that I want you to understand this. You're going to hear, just like you did last time, the word default thrown around, the word not pay our bills thrown around, and that just is, I don't want to stop short of saying that's not true. I want to go farther than that. I mean, it's just a lie. It's just a lie to say that, to use the word default. We are borrowing right now 42 cents of every dollar we spend. That's true. Excuse me, please. Had to wet the throat a little bit. And, but that means that we are not borrowing 58 cents of every dollar we spend. So we have adequate income to pay our debts. If you can't pay your debts, that's when you're in default. You know, you bring home a check to your family, and with that check you pay the mortgage and the car payment and the credit card. Those are your debts. And then you pay your expenses. You buy some food. You go to the movie. You go play miniature golf. you buy a big screen TV and rent a couple of videos. You go to a ball game. You do all the other things that you do. Those are expenses. You buy some utilities. Those aren't debts. Those are expenses. Now, we make enough money to pay our debts. So throw out the word default, because defaulting is when you don't pay your debts. So throw that word out, because it should not even be part of the conversation. The United States of America has enough money to pay the debts, and according to the 14th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, the president has to pay those debts. So him not paying the debt in order to keep Yellowstone National Park open is not even a question. His paying some expenses at the expense of paying the debt is not even legal. We have to pay the debt. The president has to pay the debt. That's in the Constitution. Now, after he pays the debt, there's a little money left. And that's enough money to do some things. Defense has to be done because that's a federal mandate. That's mandated to the federal government. There are some other things that they have to do. They have to secure the borders. They have to manage immigration. They have to run the U.S. Mint. These are things that they have to do. Then there are some things they want to do. And here's where they're going to get in trouble, because they're going to run out of money long before they exhaust the list of things they want to do. That is to buy food stamps. That is to pay for federal education. That is to keep Yellowstone Park open. That is to do all of the things that the federal government does that they just do because they want to, never because they have to. So the fact of the matter is that not only are we not going to default, but we are not going to not pay our bills. It still comes down to spending, doesn't it? No matter which way you cut it. So if the debt ceiling were not increased, that would force, wouldn't it, some spending cuts. Now, would they cut wisely? That's the question. That's the question. Will we still get the farm bill and not the next defense appropriations bill? Newt Gingrich has already suggested that the Republicans just give in on this debt ceiling thing and fight the fight to cut spending when the continuing resolutions come up. That's where your threat to shut down the government comes. And again, we're hearing this on the debt ceiling thing. About shutting down the government. No, it's not going to shut down the government. The government will still function. The debt will be paid. The Defense Department will continue to function. All of those things will continue to function, even if we never borrow another dime. We'll just be spending 58 cents of every dollar we are currently spending, instead of a dollar for every dollar we're currently spending. We would have to cut spending by 42%. And it would have to come out of discretionary spending. It could not come out of defense spending, and it could not come out of debt payment. So then, once we get over this, we're going to go down the road and we're going to get into another fiscal cliff when we come to the sequestration. Now, sequestration is when, those automatic cuts, across-the-board cuts. All they did with the fiscal cliff deal was kick that can down the road, push off the due date for the sequestration. Now, this does two things. It forces another fiscal cliff. It forces us to have all of this discussion again. But it renders completely impotent the last deal. If you remember that one back there in August of last year, when we had this debt ceiling / spending debate, and they came up the Boehner-McConnell-Reid solution then, was to go ahead and give the president his debt, but what we're going to do is we're going to cut spending, and we're going to force the Congress to cut spending by setting this sequestration date. So if they don't cut spending by X number of dollars by this sequestration date, then the budgets will be cut across the board by this much percent. Well, they didn't cut the budget. The sequestration date came, and they just kicked the sequestration down the road. So, totally impotent now, have they made the last deal that they made? And that's got to give you really, really warm, fuzzy feelings about any deal that they've made in the last week or two, and any deals that are coming down the pipe. Now, you still have this cadre of senators and congressmen who are saying no deal at all. The Rand Pauls and the Justin Amishes. And we'll see. We'll just see how that goes. I'm interested to watch that and see how it goes. When we come back, we're gonna bring the thing back to Missouri, and we're going to talk about a new bill that's been filed by my representative, Representative Burleson, that takes care of a little known tax that gets paid by Missourians. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Okay, call in tonight. Help us out. 347-677-1835. 347-677-1835. We'd love to talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. You can tell by my throat here that I'm still just getting over this thing, and I'd love a little relief. So bring it on. Bring it on. You know, we had a great, great, great Secret Santa this year. We had a target of $1,000, and I'm sorry, we had a target of $500, and we almost exceeded $1,000. We had a target of helping four families, and I believe we did 8, 11. And so we've started again. We've started Secret Santa again, as we always do. We like to start it early. So the new Secret Santa 2013, is rolling now already. We've already got some money in that chest. We're setting ourselves a goal this year of $1,500. $1,500 is our goal. And we like to start early so that you can give a little every month, or you can give when it at that time of the year when it doesn't hurt as much. It's hard for us to beg you for money, and it's hard for you to give in late October and November and December. You know, you've got your red kettles, you've got everything going on at the church, you've got your Toys for Tots, you've got your angel trees, you've got things going on at the school, you've got the food harvest baskets, all those things going on. So it's really hard to dig down just a little deeper at that time of the year. And so we just opened Secret Santa up. It's at Santa at PayPal.com, Secret Santa, sorry, at PayPal.com. And if you'll go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, click on the Secret Santa button up in the top menu. You can click right into the PayPal account and give $5 or $10 right there. Give $2 or $3 a month. Just challenge yourself to do that every month. Or just pop in there now and give whatever you can whenever you can. Well, whenever you reach a time of the year where, we're coming up to tax time now, but there will always be something. There will always be something. But, when you find an extra couple of bucks, help us out with that Secret Santa thing. Boy, that was great. That was really great this year. And so, again, excuse me, please. In Missouri, here's the way this works. The governor picks up the phone. And he calls the Department of Revenue, and he says to the Department of Revenue, sales taxes are down a little bit because sales are down a little bit because people don't have any money. He says, go out and find me more money. And so what the Department of Revenue does is they go out there and say, well, who can we screw this time? And what they did was they reclassified fitness centers, the little fitness center down there where you go and you become a member and you pay to go in and use the equipment and swim in the pool and use the shower and the towel and once in a while you pay a little extra and get a personal fitness trainer. And what they did was they said, okay, well, this is entertainment. And so these people, because they're entertainment, you have to collect sales tax on this membership. Now, if you go down and you pay a membership to something, you don't generally pay a sales tax. If you become a member of the Elks Club, or if you become a member of the of your country club, you don't generally pay a sales tax on that, and no sales tax is collected on that membership. But because they've now decided to recategorize these fitness centers as entertainment centers, well, they're going to get to collect a sales tax on it. And Eric Burleson has introduced a bill to keep that from happening anymore. Not only, though, is the membership taxed, but if you pay that little bit of extra for a personal trainer, sales tax on that. If you pay that little bit of extra for aerobics class, an extra tax on that. For a swimming instructor, extra tax, sales tax on that. So anything you buy, basically, at this fitness center is going to be sales tax. Now, that raises a specter in my mind. Aside from the fact that it's ludicrous to tax fitness club membership when you're not taxing chess club membership, the specter that it raises in my mind is that now what you've created here by allowing this redefinition just at a whim is an executive taxing authority. Now, taxing, the authority to tax belongs exclusively and constitutionally to the legislature. And in fact, the Department of Revenue has just created a new tax, a tax on fitness centers. They've created a tax. So you've got a taxing authority that is actually part of the executive branch. And the actual do I have to pay for this? Do I have to pay for that? That's actually been challenged all the way up to the Supreme Court of the state of Missouri. And the Supreme Court has unfortunately, once again, come down with the wrong answer on that and said, yes, you do have to pay that. Why someone hasn't approached the Supreme Court with this tax as a whole is unconstitutional because it's a new tax and it's a tax that was created by a branch of the government that has no taxing authority. I don't know why that question hasn't come up yet. If you do, give us a call at 347-677-1835. 347-677-1835. I'd love to hear from you on this one. The whole idea of the executive branch of government being able to just redefine who pays a specific tax and who doesn't pay a specific tax is frightening, isn't it? You could easily wake up tomorrow and find yourself a member of a specially taxed class. I don't care what you do or where you go. I mean, there are taxes on motor vehicle fuels when the motor vehicles are used for certain things. It appears that the Department of Revenue could just on a whim decide that your motor vehicle is one that's used for those specific things. I mean, if you're going to call going to the fitness center to stay in shape entertainment, you could just about get away with anything. We're going to take another break here because my throat is wearing out again. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the things upcoming on Missouri Grassroots Radio. We're really excited. We've had our first show with Cynthia Davis. That went very well. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but we're going to hear from Terry Varner right now.
This is the Grassroots Minute. In a blog post made on left-wing site Blue Hampshire, New Hampshire 3rd District State Representative Democratic Cynthia Chase asked her fellow legislators to use their power to make New Hampshire less welcoming to any conservative or libertarian planning on moving into their state, not to mention those that already live there. She is referring to a conservative project that has been underway in New Hampshire since 2001. The idea is that Americans of conservative ideas are to move to New Hampshire, gather in communities, run for office, and work to drive the state towards libertarianism and conservatism. It is called the Free State Project, and its members are called Free Staters, and believe that the state's motto, live free or die, should really mean something, and it is those citizens whose freedoms legislator Chase wants to oppress. In her December 21st post, Chase wrote that in her opinion, Free Staters are the single biggest threat the state is facing today, and said there is legally nothing we can do to prevent them from moving here. In this country, you can move anywhere you choose, and they have the right. But what we can do is to make the environment so unwelcoming that some of these who would choose to come here will actually leave. One way is to pass measures that will restrict the freedoms that they think they are seeking and will find here. But here we have a legislator who wants to use her powers to enact laws to target conservative individuals with whom she disagrees, take away their freedoms and liberties, and all in the hopes that the citizens she is oppressing might move away from their state. Can you say tyranny? If conservative legislators had written a blog post targeting the freedoms of gays or minorities and women, the mainstream media would go nuts. But here we have an elected official suggesting that government be used in the United States of America to eliminate freedoms of certain citizens in order to gain political control, and not a peep out of the media. Sounds like tyranny, indeed. I'm Terry Varner for the Grassroots Minute.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
I've got a feeling that the tide is turning. Okay, we're back. That was Terry Varner with the Grassroots Minute. We always enjoy having Terry along for that that little bit of insight. Don't forget about the Secret Santa. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Click on the Secret Santa button now. On here on Missouri Grassroots Radio, we've added a brand new segment on Tuesday nights. Last week was the inaugural of Homefront with Cynthia Davis. That's going to be a weekly thing, Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock. We're really looking forward to that. Cynthia is entertaining, is the word that I like to use for Cynthia, but she's also very, very astute about all things constitutional, about all things. She was a legislator. Was a Republican legislator. She left the Republican Party. She's now a member of the Constitution Party, and made a respectable run at lieutenant governor's seat. Now she's joined us here on Missouri Grassroots Radio on Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock with a show she calls Homefront. Then on Wednesday night, the Culture Vigilante comes along. That's Lisa Payne Nager. She's the expert here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition on all things education and homeschooling, all things that have to do with the culture of conservatism. That's your Culture Vigilante, Lisa Payne Nager, with some very interesting guests always on Wednesday nights. Thursday night, Kevin Harded, the hillbilly, comes along with a little hillbilly logic, and he always has a good show. Kevin can bring in some powerful guests. Speaking of powerful guests, next Monday on the Hour of Truth, I'm going to have Bob Parker on, and we're going to talk about that Senate seat in Missouri 8, House of Representatives seat in Missouri 8. What's happening there? How's that going to go? As you know, Bob Parker is a patriotic choice for that position. And he actually ran for that position in the primary in what now is obviously a cooked primary. Joanne Emerson ran for that seat against him, held on to it, and then immediately resigned. I mean, before the old session even ended, within a couple of weeks of the election, she resigned. She had always intended to resign as soon as it came on, and her idea was that then her and the Republican elite would be able to control that seat. Let's make sure that that doesn't happen. So we're going to have Bob Parker on. We're going to talk a little bit about that next week. We're going to talk a lot about it. We'll have Bob on for the whole period, and we'll find out a little bit. We had Bob on for a very entertaining period during the primaries, and he's very, very intelligent guy. I love talking to Bob Parker. And so we'll have him on next Monday night, and we'll talk about things like that. Then the Monday following that, we'll get back to Constitution 101. In Constitution 101, our objective is to define, is to define the Constitution of the United States. You know, you hear a lot when you talk about the Constitution, about intent and what these guys meant and what that guy meant and what this phrase means and what that phrase means. And you hear this from a bunch of people who haven't really got any idea except for some learned thing they pulled out of some law class they took somewhere. And the problem with that is that all of that is all of that. I mean, as soon as you get into this discussion with one of these scholarly folks about the Constitution, they'll immediately fall back to this precedent and then that which is built on that precedent. There's a whole timeline that the law follows, where things just kind of layered on one another, and you can actually take something backwards and track it back to this decision, and then track that back to this decision. But the problem is that if any one of these decisions along the way was awry, and we can point our fingers at a ton of them, major ones that we know were awry, then everything that springs off of that is awry, isn't it? So what we've done to find out what the founders wanted when they wrote the Constitution was we went back to England and to the Netherlands and to France, and we followed the settlers on the Mayflower. We followed them over here. What were they? What did they want? Why did they come here? And then we followed them in our first three series as they developed the Plymouth Colony, and as that expanded, and there were divisions there, and some people went north, and some people went south, and at the same time, people were spreading out from the Virginia colonies, and new settlers were coming from different countries and colonizing other areas, and what dreams and desires did they bring with them? And pretty soon there were 13 separate political subdivisions, and we looked at them, and we looked at some of the individuals there, and who actually were leaders, and what were the hopes and dreams and aspirations of them. And we're going to take that now, and we're going to follow it up to the Declaration of Independence. And then we're going to follow that up through the war and into the Constitutional, well, through into the Articles of Confederation, and then through the war, and then into the Constitutional Convention. That will bring us into the Constitutional Convention with no Constitution ever having been written, with a bunch of people coming together to try actually to fix the Articles of Confederation. And we will then be able to look at, through the writings and the words of those folks when they were there, we'll be able to come out with a very clear, concise picture of what they wanted, what their hopes were for this Constitution, and what their intent was when they wrote the words down. That's the only way to do it. I mean, you can't do this looking backwards, because there have been so many sidetracks and rabbit holes along the way. But we can do it going in from the front and looking at it from that perspective. And that's the objective of Constitution 101. So come back 2 weeks from Monday. Join us for part five of Constitution 101. I will, in the meantime, at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, click on the MGC radio button sometime in the next week. What I will do is I will add another category there of Constitution 101, and I will separate out all the Constitution 101 broadcasts into one series, and you'll be able to go there and just listen to those and skip over these ones if you wish, where I interview Bob Parker, where I come on here with my sore throat, just spend an hour doing nothing but ranting about the latest news. We're going to call it a wrap for tonight, just because I don't feel very good. And we're going to invite you to come back tomorrow for Cynthia Davis, tomorrow at 8, Wednesday at 7 for Lisa Payne Nager, Thursday at 7 for Kevin Harnan. This is Dave. This is Missouri Grassroots Radio. You've been listening to the Hour of Truth. Thanks for tuning in. Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Check out our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.